Hello. Hello. Good morning. Come on up. Good morning. Well, I heard in the readings today, I heard a holiday that is coming up, later in a couple weeks. Did you guys hear it too? What was it? Yeah, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's coming up. Well, and because of that, I wanted to thank God for some things. But I would like your help coming up with some of the things that we can thank God for. Do you have any ideas? I was thinking ahead a little bit, so I've got one. I'm going to thank God for my family. I've got a little daughter who's 5 months old. But what are some other things? What are some other things I could thank God for? Any ideas? Oh, yeah? Yeah? Birthday parties? Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. For your house? Yeah, of course, your house. And the place that we sleep? Yeah.
Being alive.
Just thank God for just being alive. Yeah. You know, we can thank God for everything. Everything that's good comes from God. And we can thank God for that. I'd like to try something together, if you guys wouldn't mind. I want you to think of something that you can thank God for. Just think of something in your head. And if you guys would help out too, we're gonna say the things that we're thankful for. We're gonna thank God together. So I'll say it like this. I'll say I thank God for, and then we can all say it out loud. And God will hear all of it. You ready? You have something in mind? All right, here we go. I thank God for
family.
Woo! You know, I heard a lot of family there. We have a lot to thank God for.
Here, let's thank God together in prayer. Will you pray with me?
Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for all good things.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming up here.
We'll put you in the middle this time. Oh, yeah. And we may pass that mic then to him or not. Well, good morning. On behalf of the stewardship committee, I'm pleased to kind of moderate a discussion with the three of us here. Last week, you heard some people talking about ministries that St. John supports that serve children and youth and young adults. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that have influenced or impacted our thoughts about giving in the congregation. And as we do this, I'm hoping that you'll all think about your stories, because we all have a story and stories about the things that have impacted our thoughts about giving and giving to the church. And I hope that you'll share some of those stories with your family so that they understand kind of where your values along those lines have come from. And so with that in mind, we've got a couple other members that I want to say thanks to, Joel Kangas and Kathy Botnan. And myself, we had Amanda Holt at the first service. I'm going to be a poor substitute for Amanda today, who couldn't stay for the second service. But we'll thank them at the end for their contributions, and I'm really excited to have you hear some of their thoughts about giving. So I did give them questions in advance to think about, so I'm not putting them too much on the spot here. But I want to start with asking each of them to share a little bit about a person or maybe a situation or an event that made an impact on how they think about giving.
For me, that's an easy question. My parents definitely influenced my giving. We lived across the street from a church when I was growing up, and unless we were out of town, we went to church every Sunday, and I always remember that offering plate passing by and my parents putting an envelope in there. I had no idea what they were giving, but every week they gave. As I got old enough to be into Sunday school, I remember being proud of that little tiny box of envelopes and putting my quarter in there and putting it in the wicker basket as it went by at Sunday school.
I'm a little bit older. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I remember my parents having a physical reminder of the importance of giving. In one of the kitchen cabinets, they had a replica of a small church, and in that were their offerings for the week. And that was a sacrosanct area of the house. I never snooped. I would never think of taking a dollar or a nickel from that. On occasion, my parents did, but the lesson I remembered from them was that it was always paid back. So that was a physical reminder every week, and I can still picture that in my mind's eye now, this Lord's treasury, as my dad called it, and that held the offerings for the week.
I could remember seeing some records of my grandfather's that recorded his giving to the church. And I'm of an age where my grandfather, this would have been, my dad was born prior to the Depression, and so the giving records, you know, were through that time. And so it was interesting to really see small but faithful amounts that were designated to the church at a time when, in my pretty conservative church that I was raised in, they would actually post the giving of all the members. And then I remember my father, who was very, and my other very strong church members as well. My father, you know, I think the story that will live in my mind to think about that is my dad was the oldest of three boys. His younger brother died early and left three girls for his mother to raise. She later remarried. But because my dad was the oldest when my grandpa died, he was the executor of the estate. And I remember laying in bed one night overhearing a phone call between my dad and his next oldest brother talking about how they were pretty well established. They didn't really need the money. Instead of giving a third of my grandfather's estate to those three girls, that my father said, how about we divide it into fifths? And instead of them each getting, say, 10% of the estate, now they'd get closer to 20% of the estate. And that really raised, really showed in my mind a notion of putting others before yourself. What does it mean to have enough? And to look out for those that may be more in need. Well, I guess I should ask the question into the mic first. So, who's moderating this thing anyway? We all have multiple places where we could be directing some of our financial support to, and there are lots of places that probably speak to our hearts. And so how does St. John, or why does St. John fit into those competing places for our financial resources for you?
My wife Nancy and I contribute to many things. St. John is one of the main benefactors of our giving. On one of the ELCA websites, there's something called the wholeness wheel. And as you might imagine, there's different pie-shaped things. And the different areas are being physically healthy, being mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, relationally healthy, and fiscally healthy or financially healthy. And typically that I do some volunteer work for the Synod, and we look at that with individuals. But I think there's something to the health of a community as well, too. So think of the church community, St. John in particular. So we want to have a nice physical plant. We want to have communication, health, good relationships between all the members. But we also want to be fiscally responsible and financially responsible. And very simply, that means writing a check. I'm not talking about the particular dollar amount on it. It just means taking care of this place. There are demands, and one of the ways to keep a community whole is to provide for its financial well-being, and that is typically done by sharing of our monies.
Well, we definitely believe in the work that St. John does out in the community. We are also very grateful for what the church does for us. All three of our kids were able to attend St. John Preschool. They've gone through Sunday school and Bible school and participated in many musical programs, went on youth trips, and we're all confirmed here. We've had one wedding in this church, and we've had two baptisms of our grandchildren. We love what the worship does for us and the positive effect it's had on our family.
I too have some of the similar thoughts and feelings, but certainly because St. John is a member of the ELCA, it provides a sense of commitment to the mission that I and my family resonate with. I think that if we look at kind of the theology within our church, it's one of grace and acceptance and inclusivity, things that we feel strongly about and want to support. It's that kind of mission that speaks to our hearts. And, of course, As you heard in the gospel text today about, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. Well, your treasure also follows where your heart is. And I think that this community that it's been so good to our family is a place that speaks to our hearts and why we support it. So when you're making decisions about how much to give, how do you decide?
I know. You can cry later. Larry called me a thorn at the first service. Just a rose between two. Because I sat there in between Amanda and Kathy. How much to give? Sometimes we make rash decisions in life and we spend money foolishly. And I think we've all been there. We regret what we've spent money on. I don't think I can name a particular response where I've given of my gifts to help an organization or a donation where I've ever said, oh, that was a mistake. I want a little bit of that back. I can't say that. I'd like to share with you one story in particular that means a lot to me. One of the other entities that Nancy and I give generously to is Concordia College. That's where I met Nancy, my wife, and we give. 4.5 years ago, Larry Papenfuss was at our dining room table, and he had talked about gift giving, and this was one of the times where Nancy and I really sat down and we came up with an X number of dollars to give to Concordia, and this was to help the Science Center remodel the Science Center, from which both Nancy and I benefited. We were at the table, and I was overcome with some emotion at the time to just step up. And to this day, I can recall that emotion, and I still have it, and I don't regret what I did. And maybe should have talked with Nancy a little bit more, but and Larry was at the table, and we had kind of already talked about an amount already, and something happened, and I said, I'm going to double that. And I looked at my wife, and I caught her eyes, and there might have been a little gasp of terror there, and she's not here today to tell me to hear this story. And I won't say it was an overly stretch, but a little bit it was. And now, as we near the end of that campaign, I'm just overjoyed that I took that leap of faith and gave more than I had ever thought I would. And it's more than just feeling good, although it does, and that's one of the reasons we give it, because it does make us feel good. But I think of what those gifts do for the other. For the institution of Concordia, for the students that are now being educated in that beautiful building, and what influence they may have in the years to come. In part, the mission statement of Concordia is to influence the affairs of the world. How do we do that? We send out people who are committed to a mission and a stance, and giving of our monetary gifts does that.
I shared that how my grandparents gave. My parents were regular givers, but I remember then after marrying Dawn, and I remember actually sitting in my first stewardship committee meeting here, and Dawn's dad was a part of that, and we'd had this conversation before, but I'd always thought about giving an amount and giving it regularly. But then as we became more involved in kind of stewardship commitment, we got introduced to the idea of percentage giving and can we really do a tithe or not? And that became kind of our focus, is to try to give a tithe, not all of it to St. John, but a tithe of all of our resources to all the commitments we might have. And I remember Dawn's father sitting in one of those meetings, and he made the comment that if half the members of St. John would give half a tithe to the church, we would double the budget of St. John. And so that made a strong impact on me to think about how do we give from kind of a percentage that helps me think and give it first. So we do simply giving because that way it's taken right out of our bank account. We don't have to think about it. And then I think it also helps us probably give a little bit more, because then when special things come along, we'll throw in that first. And because it happens first, you know, it's a reminder that it's not mine, right? that we have enough, and we work with the rest.
Well, you've already figured out this is the tough question for me, and I warned Larry this was my long answer as well. I got one in my pocket, thanks. When we joined St. John over 30 years ago, and to us, stewardship has always meant not just giving money, but also giving of our time. And that certainly has changed over the last 30 years. When we joined this church, we had three children, yes, three under the age of three. Just getting here and staying in the pew, they all happen to be here today as well, not making this question any easier to answer. But just getting here and staying in the pew was an accomplishment. We were also adjusting to living on one income, and we put a little bit in that offering plate every week, but it was definitely a struggle. As they got to be a little bit older, we found that, during that time, I did manage to join the bell choir, and that was the giving of my time. I did that for a selfish reason, and it was to have adult interaction. Nothing against you guys. as they got a little bit older, and they began to come to Sunday school and different things, we found that we did have a little bit of time, and we volunteered at teaching Sunday school and Bible school, among other things. However, at that time, just looked at Jeff. okay. Jeff decided to pursue his lifelong dream of a career in real estate, and I became a home-based business. It's a decision we would never regret, as it allowed us to spend a lot of time with our kids and be home with our kids and participate in those things. However, both of us were self-employed, and that meant no regular paychecks and no insurance benefits. So we struggled a lot of those years. We struggled many months to pay our bills, and we fell into some bad habits of creatively paying our bills through credit cards and incurred a lot of debt. Luckily, as our careers grew, our income also grew. However, that large amount of debt still hung over our head. Jeff, being the internal optimist, said, "We always have food on the table, and we always have a roof over our head." However, and he said, "We'll figure something out." So a couple weeks later, he came home and he said, "I heard this guy on the radio." And I thought, "Oh, great, now what idea does he have?" He handed me a book and he said, "Please, just read this book." And without sounding like a cliche or an advertisement, that book changed our lives. We followed the Dave Ramsey plan for the next year. We lived on an extremely tight business and we worked like crazy. We paid off that large chunk of debt and are proud to say that to this day we live debt-free. That allowed us not only to have that time to give, but also to be able to give freely. Our careers also grew. Jeff happened to buy the real estate company that he was working for, and I took a great career as well. However, we kind of almost came full circle. I think when we hit retirement, that'll be full circle. But this year we had one more realization. We were both working many, many, many hours. I worked at least over 60 hours a week and traveled a lot. Jessica still allowed me to be in that beloved bell choir, but I missed about half of the rehearsals, something that I didn't feel good about. Jeff and I both incurred a lot of stress in our jobs. So luckily, because we are still living debt-free, we were both able to take a look at our lives again and say, we're now giving freely financially, but we're not giving freely of our time back to our beloved church. So Jeff sold the company and went back into helping people buy and sell homes, his strength and his love. And I gave up that career that I truly did love and had given so much to. I now work 32 hours a week, enough to get benefits. And Wednesdays are my favorite day of the week, not just because I come here, but it's also my day off. We already have, again, now begin to be able to give more of our time.
So I asked them this at the end of last time, too. One of the things I think that we often forget to really focus on is what does giving do how does it help us feel better? Or what is it about giving that's rewarding to us?
And I felt that I had already answered that question. But Jeff and I tell our story often. In fact, we've taught the Dave Ramsey course here several times years ago. And we don't tell our story because we're proud of it. In fact, it's a hard, humbling thing to admit that we were in that bad financial state. But we tell our story in case others are in that position to know that there's a way out. Or even more importantly, if we can help people not get into that position and allow others to also have that ability and that feeling to give freely.
When Larry asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, we're considering another campaign to further reduce the debt on this building. So at one time, that was well over $1 million. And so Larry made the comment, well, debt reduction is rarely sexy to talk about. And I get that. It may not be. But debt reduction is important to me. As a small businessman, every time I can pay down debt or eliminate debt, that's more monies that can go towards employees, programs, etc. The same happens at the church level. And we give so much. We have a budget per month for the church itself. So much of that goes for debt reduction. But of that debt reduction, a fair amount of that is interest alone. Interest alone doesn't really help us out, except maybe it serves as a reminder of the importance of reducing our debt. That's what the Dave Ramsey course does on a personal level, and that's what eventually we will be doing as a church on a community level. And so for every dollar we take down in debt, we also pay less in interest, which is just kind of always there lurking in the background. We know it's there, but it really robs us of the ability to do even more mission.
I think one of the joys of giving for me is that it helps remind me that contentment is a wonderful gift. And how do we learn to live with enough? And once we realize that, then that allows us to experience even more joy because we're able to do more for others. So that would be my highlight of that. Let's take some time now to thank these people for sharing their stories with us.